You know, with these crazy bionic ears, it sounds like I had the microphone on to me. That's the problem with those things. So, sorry about that. There's an abundance of noise. And anyway, I know Jonathan and Evelyn would appreciate your prayer. Things might settle down for Jonathan. He's been struggling with some things for some days, and just pray that things might get straightened out with him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again. Thank you, Father, that we can be here tonight. Thank you that we have your word to turn to, guide us, direct us, lead us. We thank you for how you answer prayer. We thank you for the truth that we can sing about, the person that we can sing of. And we thank you for the assurance that's ours. And I pray that tonight you would be glorified as our service continues. In your name I pray. Amen. We've all had appointments and we've been asked to wait. I think we all know what that's about. You're given an appointment time, you arrive, and then we're sorry, it'll be just a few minutes. We're running a little bit behind. And sometimes it is just a few minutes. Sometimes we end up becoming angry, frustrated, especially if we're in a hurry and we have other things that we need to do and we don't really have time for this delay. And usually once the appointment is kept, if it's been something that has taken a great amount of time, we may not say it. And it's probably a good thing that people don't give us a penny for our thoughts, because usually in our minds we're thinking, well, it's about time, right? Quite often we think that to ourselves. You have a piece of paper there, Judson or Andrew? Let's call this one, it may be sooner than you think. It may be sooner than you think. The Lord's return. How long have God's people been waiting for that? A long time. In a generic sense, how many years? A couple thousand years or more already. Couple thousand years. Now, I heard Rick talking about that he was the second oldest here tonight, or the second youngest. What was that, Rick? Huh? Second youngest here. I said, you'd like to think so. He's old, but he's not 1,000 years old yet. Anyway, the Lord's return. Do you ever wonder, is it really going to happen? I think we do, don't we? And let's talk about the fact that it has been a long time, at least as far as mankind thinks. And it seems like it's been delayed plenty of time. Let's talk about the Lord's return and see some of the things that have occurred since it's taken, in our day and age, now over 2,000 years. At the time Peter wrote this, why, it hadn't been very many years at all. Perhaps a few decades. But now in our lifetime, we're talking generically, it's been over 2,000 years. And because it has taken at least up to today, there are some things that have resulted. One of them in verses, I didn't tell you where to look, did I? Oh, you all have such eager looks on your face. If you were just that eager to listen, I know you were wanting to hear where the text is. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. What are some of the results of the delay? Verses 3 and 4. Number one result, there has been skepticism among unbelievers. Skepticism among unbelievers. 2 Peter chapter 3. We start at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You Christians have been talking for over 2,000 years about the fact that he's coming. Where is he? And Peter said, I just want you to know that in the last days, there's going to be an abundance of this skepticism. Interestingly enough, even at the time that the writers were writing the New Testament, they were thinking in their minds that it was the last days. And how time has passed and how the years have rolled on. And Peter said, there's going to be an increase of this skepticism. The longer our Lord delays his return, the more years that pass and it hasn't happened, there's going to be just more and more people getting vocal. Where is it, Christian? Where is he, Christian? But along with that skepticism, we see here, for since the fathers fell asleep, this is now what the skeptics will be saying, since our fathers, the founding fathers, our ancestors fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You Christians keep saying, and as we look in the New Testament, we know in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul in both of these places taught the unexpected at any moment return of our Lord for his own. We call it the rapture, when the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then, as Paul wrote, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. See, even Paul thought that the Lord was going to come in his day. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we find that Peter was writing, the longer our Lord delays, the more the skeptics are going to just be vocal. Where is he? Where is he? Christians, aren't you ready to give up that fairy tale? If he was going to come back, he would have come back. Aren't you ready to admit that you've believed a lie? Aren't you ready to admit that it won't happen? It's not going to happen. Give it up. Well, the ever-present tendency to doubt the reality of the return and to ridicule believers in the second coming, especially the unexpected at any moment rapture of the church. The skeptic does not believe that God is able or will keep his word. And what's the whole issue of it as far as the skeptics are concerned? Time. In the mind of the unbelievers, there's been too much time. Too much time. And with each passing year, it just adds strength to their argument. It's been such a long time. Give it up. Now, the whole issue, though, is it's been too long a time for whom? Let me ask you this. Has it been too long for God? It's been over 2,000 years. What are 2,000 years to God? A couple of what? Days. For Peter taught us that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years are as a day, because God is not bound by time like you and I are. We grow old. We cannot do what we once did when we were young. That's a fact of life. But God inhabits eternity. He is ageless, and he is not aging. He has always been, and he always will be. And the fact that, as far as puny mankind is concerned, it's been over 2,000 years. Boy, you Christians, you don't have much hope of this ever taking place. Fooey. The one who made the promise is ageless. So when we start thinking and we hear people say, well, it's been such a long time, it's not to God, and he's the one that made the promise. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, he's the one whose goings are from everlasting to everlasting. Before there was anything, there was God. Because in the beginning, God did what? God said, let there be. How long had God existed before he spoke those words? He had existed eternally. That's something I have trouble wrapping my mind around. So, the skeptics, they like to use the argument that it's been such a long time. If he's coming back, you Christian, where is he? Never mind the fact that he hasn't come back yet. Put your mind on the fact of his reliability and his eternal character. He has always been and he always will be, and he gave his word, I will return, I will come back, and we can mark it down as fact. But What's one of the results of the delay? Skepticism among the unbelievers. And so their voice, where is he? It's been too long. You know, there's an account recorded in the book of Ezekiel that I would like to have you turn to. Ezekiel 12, and let's turn to verse 21. And the prophet Ezekiel, and I think it's good for us to realize this, you know, all of these things were written for our learning. And I was thinking recently, boy, you know, this is a good portion of Scripture for us, really just to fortify our own hearts and minds with. Ezekiel 12, we begin at verse 21 through the end of that chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Let's translate that. What is that in our language? What was the proverb that Israel was heard saying? It's been what? A long time, and what? Nothing has come to pass. That's kind of where we're at right here in 2 Peter. We go on. Tell them, verse 23, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But you say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect or the result of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain or empty prediction, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall what? It's going to come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged or delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house of Israel, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Let's translate that. Another word to the prophet was, Israel is also saying that you don't have to worry about these prophecies because they're going to be, it's a long time before God is going to keep his word. Look at verse 28. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. In Israel's day, the words of that the people that were on the lips of God's people were, oh, it's been so long. The prophets have come and they've prophesied all these things. It's never happened. Don't worry about it. But the day came when the Lord said, Ezekiel, I'm going to put an end to that proverb that my people are saying, and I am going to keep every word I have spoken to them, and I'm not going to delay. Yeah, it's been almost 2,000 years since the Lord left his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Been over 2,000 years since the angels appeared to the group of people standing there on that hill as they had watched as Jesus went heavenward. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus which you have seen go to heaven will come again in like manner as you have seen him go." And the skeptics are saying, "Okay, you Christians, where is he? He's coming. Don't you ever question that. He is coming." There's another thing that we notice, though, with this skepticism among the unbelievers in verses 3 and 4. Another result is there is willful rejection of the truth in verses 5 and 6. Not only skepticism, questioning, but in verses 5 and 6, they are rejecting willingly God's truth. Look at what verse 5 and 6 say. "For this," well, we have to pick up in verse 4. They're saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Truth or error? What is that? Has everything continued the way it started out? Or was there something which happened to this earth that God created? Huh? You don't know what to say, do you? Let's go on. They are saying, nothing has ever happened to this earth. Why should we be concerned about God's prediction to come again for his own? Why should we be concerned about prediction, about coming judgment? Nothing has ever happened. Oh yeah? They are willingly denying the truth of verse 5 and 6. They are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, there's creation, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, what happened? Perished. Perished, but the same but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, the word that said there's going to be a flood to destroy all this, and it happened. By that same word, God said, "I'll never destroy this earth again by water." And so this same word is keeping this world going. It's not an evolutionary process. All things were created by him, and by him all things consist. Keep going. Hang together. And so we see in this seventh word, or seventh verse, by the same word, the heaven and earth, it's kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, God promised Noah and his family, "I will never destroy the earth again by water. And here's my promise to you. I'm going to give you a sign, the rainbow. the rainbow. Every time we look at that, that is God just saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. I'll never destroy it again by water. But he is going to destroy it again by what? By fire. As we look at this, not only do we see the results of the delay have caused skepticism among unbelievers in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, but we see, secondly, in verse 9, it has resulted in a slackness among believers. Why do I say that? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Usward, to whom is that referring? Christians. God is not slack concerning his promise. Why is it taking him so long, beloved? Because he is long-suffering to us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. What are you suggesting, Pastor? I'm suggesting what a heartache it must be to the Lord for him to observe the attitude of so many Christians in general as far as his return is concerned. How many of us are that excited? How many of us get up in the morning and think to ourselves, perhaps today, maybe today he's going to come. I looked for you yesterday, Lord. Maybe you're going to come today. And because I know you could come today, I need to do everything I can to speed up your coming. I need to get out the word. I need to be witnessing to my neighbor. We've had a neighbor that has been prayed for. We're not sure that this May knows the Lord as her personal Savior or not. We were asked to pray that maybe Kathy could get a chance to give one more chance to witness to her, and the family said no. Only family. But how many of us live our lives with a sense of urgency that it could be today? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as we count slackness. And the skeptics, their tongues wag. It's been so long. But perhaps part of the reason why it's taking the Lord so long is because there has been a slowing down, a lack of real zeal and drive, which has just infiltrated the body of Christ with the passing of time. And we're not that excited about it anymore. We don't think that much about it anymore. Think of the early church in the book of Acts. You say, yes, I realize that it was something totally new. There were some spectacular miracles taking place. The Holy Spirit was working, but beloved, may I remind you, the Holy Spirit is still alive and well and working. We may not be seeing those spectacular miracles of the healing of the sick or the raising of the dead, but that doesn't mean that God isn't working. The greatest single contributing factor to the growth of the church in the early days, apart from just saying, well, it was because the Holy Spirit was working, I'd like to suggest that the contributing factor was the anticipation, the belief that the Lord could come at any moment. And the record of Scripture tells us that that is true because some of those early believers almost worked themselves to death because they wanted to get the job done. We don't. Are we giving Him our best? Or do we find ourselves asking, why? Why should I get all excited? It's been over 2,000 years. Someone's going to do my part if I don't. Someone will pick up the slack. What a terrible attitude. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some men, but He is long-suffering to us, word. Because He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to see individuals come to a saving knowledge of His Son. If we could somehow recapture that spirit of the early church, that enthusiasm, that anticipation, may God help us. And then thirdly, in closing, as we think about the results of the delay, not only was there skepticism among unbelievers and sadly slackness among believers, if we could somehow, number three, be steadfast regardless of the time. Oh, what a difference we could make. If we could be steadfast, regardless of the time. The Lord looks for ones who keep on, always looking for His return. Always looking for His return. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 38, the Lord, I think, gave a parable. And He said here, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Oh, beloved, wouldn't that be something if the Lord would come and would find us busy, anticipating, working because we honestly believe, I thought You might come today, Lord. Wouldn't that be something? Now, in Peter's letter, he talks about the day of the Lord in verses 10 through 14. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. The elements or the heavens are going to pass with great noise. They're going to melt with fervent heat. The earth, the works that are therein are going to be burned up. Beloved, that is not the rapture of the church. By the time this happens, the rapture will have already occurred. These are events that he describes that are going to be after the rapture. The hope of his return ought to affect our daily Christianity. God is not behind schedule. May I remind you that he is right on track. I close with Acts 17, 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent because He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Yes, God is going to keep every promise he's made. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. How do we know that he's going to come back and he's going to judge the world just like he said he would? Acts 17:31. Because he raised his son from the dead. And God said, now you know, I mean business. I will keep every word I have said. God is not behind schedule. What is it with you? Skepticism, slackness? Hopefully it's steadfastness. May God help us as we stand for our closing prayer. Thank you, Father, for the chance to be reminded of the reliability of your word. Your people have been waiting a long time, but by faith we continue to wait and watch, and by your grace work, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Thank you that you're coming. We look for you. We wait for you. In your name we pray. Amen.